Welcome back to the program. We are in between week 6 and week 7 of the college football season. Week 6 was pretty entertaining, I thought. Some games were lopsided, others not so much, and we have the college football professor here to break it all down with us. He noticed some things from last week that we'll talk about, as well as preview a slew of interesting matchups this week, some in the SEC and around the nation as well. But I'll bring in the college football professor now. Professor, a good afternoon. Hope all is well.
Oh, everything is quite well. It's getting cool. I guess you could say this is football weather.
It's finally dropping, the temperature, that is. Surprises last week. Were you shocked at the competitiveness of the game in Knoxville? Georgia escapes Tennessee in overtime by 3 points.
I was very surprised by that. I would never have thought that. But as the game unfolded, you could see it coming. And then to come down to the end where Tennessee had a chance to win and to fumble the ball into the end zone for that touchback, that had to be quite heart-wrenching for Tennessee. But it was a surprise that the game was that competitive.
I agree with you. It was. Well, how about Florida State? 63-0 over Maryland. Their offense played well. Of course, Jameis Winston, I think he had 4 or 5 touchdowns in the game, several hundred yards passing, as well as the defense holding Maryland to 30-something rushing yards and 0 points, an absolutely dominating performance over a ranked Maryland team.
I wasn't surprised by that. I was totally shocked because I thought that that Maryland would probably give Florida State a tussle, and especially the fact that Maryland up until that game had shown some strength on defense. But was I ever wrong? And I guess everybody else was too.
Ohio State got away with a big 10-point victory. It was 10 points the whole way, right? The game was never close. No, that the final score did not tell the story at all in that one. Ohio State received a garbage touchdown late. What do you think about this Northwestern team and Ohio State? Are they a true championship contender?
I'm wondering about that, but I think Northwestern played really well. I mean, it wasn't a fluke. They really played them, and maybe by all rights had good opportunities to win. Of course, as you well know, we know that it was a 3-point game, even though on the scoreboard it's a 10-point game. You know, that fumbled or ever how the thing wound up with that touchdown at the end wasn't really a part of the game.
No, it wasn't. Well, what about teams that are showing some muscle? Surprise. Let's talk about the Missouri Tigers for just a second. They are 5-0. They have one conference win. They travel to Athens this weekend. People don't really know what to make of the Tigers. They haven't really played enormous competition, but at the same time, you can't overlook a team that's 5-0 in the SEC. There's only one other one.
Well, and I also think the fact that they beat Vanderbilt, you know, by the margin they did, and I mean, mostly dominated the game. In fact, I believe I'm right that Vanderbilt came back a little bit in the second half to make it even, you know, a little closer. But I'm also thinking about UCLA and Miami. Those are the three teams that are showing some surprising muscle, Missouri, UCLA, and Miami. And I don't know. We'll see. The season is not quite halfway through, but these would be the three teams that kind of surprisingly showing some muscle this year.
Right, give me your top five right now, if you had to choose.
I would say right now it's Alabama, Oregon, Clemson, Stanford, and FSU. That would be the way I see it right now.
Okay. I noticed that there's no Ohio State in there. Why not?
Well, Ohio State, yeah, I think the Big Ten is just not very strong, and they've struggled with teams, and they really haven't played any real dominant team yet. But nonetheless, they're close. They're undefeated. They would be close. But all these others, I just have to put ahead of them.
Well, that's fair. All right, let's look at some of the games this weekend. Florida travels to LSU. This is a 2:30 game on CBS. The Tigers have not played much defense this week, and I you know, this year so far, but Florida has. Who do you see winning this game? How's the game going to go?
This is a really interesting game. If I remember last year, the score was 14-6. But I look at Florida. Think about this. They've lost probably the key player on offense and the key player on defense. They've lost, Jeff Driscoll and Dominic Easley, but they still have Purifoy back there.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting in this game, this is Florida and at LSU, okay? Now, Florida's defense is the top in the conference, and LSU's offense is, I think, maybe third in the conference. So here comes LSU with a strong offense and Florida with a strong defense. Does that not sound odd?
Yeah, if you were to look at history, that would certainly be the things in reverse from the way they have been in the past. Georgia Tech plays at BYU this weekend in a game that's kind of under the radar, but I'm interested to see how Georgia Tech plays on the road.
Yes, this will be interesting. Both these teams, I think both of them were, as the season unfolded, were expecting to do a little bit better than where they are right now. But these are teams that's in the middle of the pack, but both of them are pretty good. So it's a really interesting intersectional-type game. Both of them got name brands, and both of them have good teams. So it'll be, a very interesting game.
Alabama looks to stomp another opponent this weekend. They are on the road at Kentucky. Do the Wildcats have any shot in this game?
I don't think so, not if Alabama plays Alabama football. And as you all know, there are times that teams come in and don't do that. Kentucky is good enough that if you don't come in and play, they could they could beat you. And the fact that Kentucky's got some experience by playing of their games so far, they've played three very good football teams. And a couple of them, they played quite well. I think, what was the score? 27-13 that Louisville beat them. And,
yes.
So it's a pretty good football team, even though they got a 1-4 record.
Pittsburgh is playing at Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech has escaped several times this year. I think last week they had a nice win over North Carolina. This one, they're at home this weekend. But do you think Pittsburgh? A lot of people think Pittsburgh could win this game. What about you?
I think it could go either way. I kind of think Virginia Tech will win, and I'm going to say something that I haven't been able to say all year, because I think that Logan Thomas is playing pretty good now.
Wow. Well, he ought to be. He's been there long enough. South Carolina and Jadeveon Clowney, will he or will he not play? I think that drama has played out, and we won't say anything else about it here on this program. But South Carolina does travel to Arkansas in what I think could be a very interesting game. Arkansas coming off of that 30-10 loss to Florida, but I think they'll pull the upset on somebody this year, and I wonder if it's not an unsuspecting South Carolina team.
If South Carolina doesn't come in ready to play, they will absolutely get beat. And you have to wonder if that Jadeveon Clowney thing is some distraction on the team. I don't know if it is or not. But the thing interesting to me is that Arkansas has this running back, Alec Collins, who is averaging over 100 yards a game. He's a freshman. And beyond all of the thing about Connor Shaw or Dylan Thompson, who's going to play quarterback, and Jadeveon Clowney, Mike Davis, I think, is leading the SEC with 122 yards a game average. So that's interesting to see these two top running backs who have not really had much, been given much of a spotlight, go against each other.
The Red River rivalry will take place in Dallas, as it always has. The problem is it's not going to be quite as thrilling and epic as it has been in the past, but Mack Brown does not want his eulogy to his career to be written on in this field, but I think if Oklahoma stomps him, it will be. What do you think?
Well, you almost think that Blake Bell will ring Mack Brown's bell this game. You think about a quarterback, if I remember or notice, he's, I think, 6'6", 263 or something like that. Big guy, and he passes well and can run hard, and this could be quite a game. But Texas could come up. They could come up, and you think, Jacob, they could win one for the Gipper here?
Well, I don't know about the Gipper, but they Mack Brown, if he ever needed to motivate his team to win one, he would be. I think, though, that if President Reagan were still alive, of course, he played George Gipp in the famous movie about Newt Rockne. I think that he might have a little bit better shot at motivating people than Mac Brown. We could use President Reagan right now. Northwestern is playing at Wisconsin. This is a game. Northwestern, they really need a bounce back win, but going on the road at Wisconsin is not exactly what the doctor ordered.
No, it's going to be very difficult. But, you know, this might be the determining game to see who has a decent season in the Big Ten. And this game could make a big difference for both these teams. So it's an important game to those teams and to the Big Ten.
ESPN's primetime game Saturday night is Texas A&M playing at Ole Miss. And this Texas A&M team has been flying under the radar. Johnny Manziel has not made any more headlines. It's been very quiet.
Is he still the quarterback there, Jacob?
I really don't know. I didn't know if he now is working for a signature company or something. But they are going on the road to play Ole Miss. This Ole Miss team has lost two in a row. They were embarrassed at Alabama, and they also lost one to Auburn last week. And so where is this Ole Miss team? Do they have a shot?
I don't know. I say the thing that would concern me if I were Texas A&M would be my defense. But nonetheless, Ole Miss's offense hadn't looked all that horrific anyway. Jacob, I think they've got a really good player in Dante Moncrief. And I know he's caught a lot of passes, but it don't seem like they really feature him enough or put him in a position enough to make great plays. And, they've tried to be cute with some things rather than letting him have impact on the game.
Well, I've watched a couple of Ole Miss's games this year, and I think in just about every single one, they've let Laquon Treadwell throw a pass. And, if I had a message to Coach Freeze right now, it's don't let Laquon Treadwell throw a pass this week because it hasn't gone well so far.
Maybe that was in the agreement when he committed to Ole Miss.
Oh, boy. Maybe so. Let's look at the top two games, what I think are the top two games this weekend. And Missouri is traveling to Georgia. And let me just take a tangent one second. I wanted to get your thoughts on one thing. If you look at the SEC, the top two offenses in the league are Texas A&M and Missouri, and those, of course, are the two teams that are in their second year of acclimation to the conference from the Big 12. What do you think about that?
Well, if you didn't know, if you didn't look at it and read it, you wouldn't know it by anybody saying anything about it. Missouri is a team that just kind of floated along this year, and nobody's even said a word about them. So maybe they thought they were still in the Big 12 or the Big 8 or wherever or somewhere else. But, their quarterback is quite a good quarterback,
sure.
James Franklin.
Yes.
And he was injured last year, so therefore people didn't really, as the first year of Missouri in the conference, didn't get the chance to see him play and didn't notice him and maybe wasn't looking for him. But he is really good. And they could give Georgia a real hard time. And especially, Georgia's had some devastating injuries now, and so this could be quite an interesting game.
No, I think you're absolutely right. If I were to look at an upset so far the entire season, I think this one has those flashing lights all over it. Missouri is the number two offense in the conference, as we talked about. Georgia's defense, they are dead last in scoring defense in the conference, near the bottom in total defense. This Georgia team is depleted on both sides of the ball. They don't have Keith Marshall. Todd Gurley is 50-50 at best this weekend. Justice Scott Wesley, their leading wide receiver, is out. I think this could be a very big game for Missouri on Saturday. And the final...
Jacob, you'd have to say it. Mark Rick is really, 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 really glad that this game's being played between the edges.
No question. No question about it. Oregon is number two in the country. Some people think they're number one, but they are number two, and they are traveling to Washington this weekend, and I think this is going to be by far the biggest test the Ducks have had all year. My question to you is, who wins this game, and will there be any faking injuries on either side?
I don't know what they're going to do because they kind of mirror each other,
sure,
playing
yeah.
Sort of like each other. And, the nation doesn't pay much attention to it, but Washington at home is usually a pretty tough out. So this could
yes.
be an interesting game. I don't know if they can beat Oregon or not. But nonetheless, it could be a very interesting game. And don't you know that they have... They've been putting some eggs in this basket.
I'm sure they have, and you're right about Washington. that is a difficult place to play. It tends to rain there. It tends to be cold. That stadium sways back and forth. It is built to where it actually sways. It's just strange. And the good thing for Oregon, though, is they play in a similarly odd environment in Autzen Stadium in Eugene. So this could be a good game. Well, Professor, great stuff as always. We will talk to you next week and hopefully have some more clarity. We will have the first BCS rankings to discuss as well as they come out Sunday night, so we'll talk about those as well. But thanks for joining us on the program. I'm Jacob Bunn. We will be back on Friday, and I'll have my preview of the weekend as well. Another fantastic week of college football upcoming.